Morning again.
Be back after a few weeks. You all of you know the circumstances which that took us return back to India for a few weeks, and we got back last week, and the events didn't complete there, and then my wife Molly had to turn around and go back again. You all know what happened. One word for as an encouragement: we initially quickly left in 2 days, because my oldest in the family, oldest brother, who passed away. So we primarily went for that funeral, and of course then the chain of actions continued after that, about my father-in-law getting sick and the hospital for 15 days in ICU. We were with him all along, and 2 weeks at home, and we left him. We didn't know what to expect, but after we left, 4 days after, it pleased the Lord to take him home. So Molly said, "I want to go to the funeral." Yeah, she turned around and took another 22-hour flight back home, and she's there. Lord willing, we'll be back on the 30th Saturday. By my one word about my brother, all of us children had a basic training and teaching of God's word and Sunday schools and in the assembly. He was saved early on, but when he left home for a job in another place, he wasn't really walking close to the Lord for some years. I, as an younger brother, started praying for him to come back to God's people for continuously 9.5 years. And I still remember those days. And the Lord brought him back. So if you are a person who is praying for the salvation of someone, or someone walked away from the Lord, if you are praying for them, don't give up. Continue to pray. The Lord will do his work at some point, if he chooses to. It is all his in will. When I was gone for that long and came back, and one brother called me and said, "When you come back, you have to bring me a commendation letter." I won't say who it is. You can almost guess. We were online. There was no assembly open where we were, and we were online with ELPC every Sunday, breaking bread in our home along with you. So that was good that we were able to join that without any interruption, even from there. We've been praying for Ray and Pam. Their names was mentioned earlier. As you know, he went ahead to build a home for her. He's under construction. The foundation was laid, I was told, last week. So he said, "As soon as I complete the home, I'll come back and take you to be with me." So she's waiting. So when the completed, that is when she will also move permanently. Well, I shouldn't say permanently, nothing is permanent. A subject that was in my mind even before when I signed up on this was the glory of life that is to come in the future, or eternal glory that is yet to come, was my subject. And it actually went right along with my thoughts and the events of things that happened in our life as a family. And so this morning, what I want to do is to touch upon the subject. You probably heard the title before, Living in the Light of Eternal Glory. But we won't have time this morning to touch upon the eternal glory that is yet to come. The Lord doesn't come, maybe another time we will look at that. But this morning, this is only probably an introduction to the eternal glory that is yet to come, for which you and I have been kept for that glory, as Peter says in First Peter itself. Mankind has long been fascinated with the thought of what will happen after death. Whether they are believers or non-believers, doesn't matter, Christian or non-Christian, any religious person who has always were fascinated to know what is going to happen to me when I die. Well, many conclusions are there. That fascination has led to many cults that are around. And the speculation among God's people have led to setting times and all kinds of interest you can see of people who is looking to for the future and to find out what will happen. But as Christians today, we and you and I are given the full assurance what exactly will happen, where are we heading to. So this morning my thought process is only on one particular statement that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's turn to that chapter, a chapter that is very well known to all of us, that talks about the second coming of Christ. And most of the time these passages are read and preached upon in funerals, which is okay, but Paul had no intention to limit that to funerals. But I just want to touch upon one particular statement that Paul begins in verse 13, that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We will read a few verses, but I will come back to the statement. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that this you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive will remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. That is the promise that the Lord gave to his people through his servant apostle Paul. But I want to only probably touch upon that one statement that begins at the beginning of chapter verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant. That's my message theme this morning. I do not want you to be ignorant. In today's condition, there is no reason for anyone, any human being, to be ignorant of anything. Almost everything available to all of us at the fingertip, on your phone or your computer or wherever, there is no reason for us to be ignorant of anything. But Paul says in a different subject, on a different theme, which we will look as we go on today. But this morning I will only look at the eternal glory and the revelation that is given to us in the scripture in the light of that glory that is revealed to us, including the passage we read here. How does that affect you and me today as we live? I'm going to start with the application of the eternal glory, and the Lord doesn't come, we will look at the eternal glory itself sometimes in the future. So we should be living in the light of eternal glory. So Friday night we had the home meeting at Abe and Gina's home. We barely touch upon this. You and I have no clue, no understanding. We don't take very, very seriously, although we know some of them. The eternal glory that is coming. And we are truly not prepared for that in many ways. There are 10 different types of communication communications people use today. I said that we cannot be ignorant. It started off many years ago with the postal mail. I remember coming to this country and writing in a letter paper and putting in the envelope and putting stamps, and it reaches there 2 weeks later to my parents. And then we had the email, the phone, the texting, the video call, the WhatsApp, Facebook, Snapchat. I didn't know such that thing existed. Snapchat, Zoom, Twitter, and the list, this is not a final list. So we communicate with all these
all these technologies available to us, and there are search engines in the, we can search in the internet, Google, the giant Google, and similar search engines. But all this, I asked myself, I'm not asking you this question, I asked myself this question, with all these technologies and the communication methods that we have, is mankind, or you and me, happier and safer than before? The answer is definitely an astounding no. The information passed through all these methods of technology, mind you, I'm not talking against or for on behalf of any of these. I'm just simply saying that all this information that is passed around, it has only, is it growing you to grow in the Lord and serve the Lord better? That is for you to answer. There are benefits. I agree. There are a lot of benefits in all this technologies. At the same time, it has also created havoc, quarrels between people, gossip, and even among the Lord's people. And the life of our life has been held and attached to these things in such a way that we have no time for the Lord. No time to open the Bible and read the scriptures. I'm talking to some extent myself. You know, the phone has a capability of telling you how much time that you spend on the phone. I think all of you know that, right? End of the day, look at the time that you spent looking at all kinds of things. For good reason for some time, but it tells you the how many hours have been spent on it. But compare that with the hours that you did for the Lord and His word. So that is why I said it only had caused harm to Christians in most cases. Bottom line is that all this technology around, we have no reason to be ignorant. I'm not talking about the knowledge of this world. But this, all this information that is passed around by these 10 channels of communication and other search engines, or everything they bring up to you, YouTube, I forgot about that. They will be mad at me. So all these informations that we get through, if you look closely, almost, I say almost, everything is things that concerns the temporary life that is around us. Everything will vanish the moment you take the last breath. None of the things that I mentioned in this list will go with you. So Paul says, my brethren, please do not be ignorant. And his subject of ignorance is the glory that is to come. And he begins by telling the coming of Christ. So, second coming and the coming of eternal glory is not something limited for funerals or when people get sick or something like that. It should be our theme in our daily walk with the Lord. Almost every single day, we should be looking and thinking about the eternal glory. If you look at the life of the Old Testament saints before us, you take any one of them. I'm not going to mention any names. Almost all of them, when they lived on this earth, some of them were very rich people, some were poor people, some were kings, and all kinds of status of life there. But they all had one goal in their life, facing and waiting for the eternal glory yet to come. That was their life goal in their life. That continues the same in the throughout the New Testament. Think about Stephen. What happened to him? Because he was thinking of the glory yet to come, and the Lord himself took the privilege of, gave him the privilege of looking at him, glorious Savior standing in heaven. Can you imagine? So their thought was always, always pointed to the glory that is yet to come. Not only the Old Testament saints, we can also think about our own, some of our own fathers and grandparents who is with the Lord now. They lived with one intention of the glory that is yet to come. Well, I was just simply challenging myself when I was going through. But one thing I know, we all know for sure. We may be ignorant of everything going on around us, but we cannot be ignorant of the glory that is yet to come. The scripture uses very much information and teachings on this particular subject, and we are challenged every day by the scriptures that we must be living, looking for that glory that is yet to come. We are only passing through this world. We may have a short time. Nowadays, the age has no limit of death. As soon as I left India, a 49-year-old family member, young man, his daughter's marriage was to take place tomorrow, met in an accident and killed. So death has no time limit, no age limit. So our life, whatever short life God gives us, we must live in the light of the glorious eternity that to come. What will it benefit us to study, to take a subject like this? On the eschatology wise, it is the next event to happen. We all know that. So that's not my theme, so I'm not going there. But the eternal destiny is something that you and I must be mindful of almost every day in our life. Most of mankind, I say most of mankind, including you and me, will die before this event of coming of Christ. Most. And I have prayed many times, and I thought about it. Should I prefer, like Paul was, thinking in his mind, which one to prefer? Whether to die and to be with the Lord, or stay here and be transformed? As we said, there are two things can happen. I find it difficult to choose one of the two. Of course, it is not my choice, right? But that can happen, but that eternal glory, that is the next thing to happen. But right, what is after that? So much is given. We went through the book of Revelation recently of all the events that is going to take place. But we should really take time to look at the glorious place that we are being ushered into. James says there are benefits of studying this, looking at the glory yet to come. Number one, it encourages us to live accordingly here on this earth, wherever God has placed you, that these blessings that are waiting for me is mine. I should know that. We should take note of it and be blessed and encouraged. James says in chapter 1 and verse 12 like this: blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. And crowns and all other glory, this is only one incident in one part of that glory that is yet to come. Did you know that the eternal glory is yours already? You don't have to do anything to get the glory that God has promised. There are some denominations will teach you otherwise, but you have to do, you have to live holy life, you have to do that, this and that, go to the mountains or whatever. But if you are a child of God, this glory that is revealed in the scripture is already yours. It's entirely yours, and you own it today as you are looking at me. It is proper for us to think of that glory that is yet to come. That will change our minds and thoughts and get away from these 10 different communication skills and take our mind and thoughts on him and to adjust our life. Peter says in chapter 3 verse 8, says, finally you be ye all like-minded. I mean, these are some instructions while we are thinking about the glory to come, while our lifestyle is being altered and changed and modified to bring glory and honor to you, him, as well as to prepare to be in that glorious place. He says, while you are here, for Peter says, finally, brothers, you all be like-minded. You know, there is unity is not uniformity. We are all different people, but there can be like-mindedness in the things of God. As brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, sometimes very hard to find those are people around, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise blessing for hereunto you are called. When the evil comes against us, the world, that system that is totally against you in your thought process, your moral and spiritual values is being attacked by the world around you. It is not for us to do evil for evil. Instead of, Peter says, you do blessing to others, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. He gives tremendous instructions for us to live every day of our life while our eyes are set into the glory ahead. We are not supposed to sit idle and life goes on as it comes along. There should be a daily changes in our Christian character and a godly character as we live every single day of your life. Some of you are young people. If the Lord doesn't come, you have a longer life than when some of us are here. By the way, this month, the next month is my 25th year after triple bypass that I went through. Lord gave me another 25 years after that. But whatever life that you get in this world, we are to live a life and a changing character in our life. That should be evident our every day. And let his ears unto their supplication, but the face of the Lord is upon them. The face of the Lord is upon them who that do evil. I get questions, people ask always questions. Why does God allow the evil that is around us? Peter says, God's face is upon the evil that is taking place, whoever is that doing it. And his time will come. Until then, it is not for you and us to take do evil for the evil. We are supposed to be blessing such people through our life and our lifestyle. And the second benefit of looking at the glorious event that is coming, glory and the majesty that we are being kept for, it furnishes a stimulus and a theme for evangelism. Now listen carefully. Looking at the glory of the Lord's coming and that we are waiting for, our eyes should always be there, but that should really stimulus us to for the evangelism. We have failed, I tell you that, I have personally. When I was a young man growing up, as a teenager, and I had much more eagerness to preach the gospel, give gospel tracts, go to meetings, and wherever I possible to give that testimony of gospel to people all around my life. Somewhere along the road, the ball got dropped. I didn't even know. Because other priorities have taken place. You and I are given the opportunity to share the gospel of salvation. Now listen to this, what Paul says. Why did Paul was so anxious to preach the gospel? But 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. The number one thing that kept Paul to continue to preach the gospel is that he knew that he is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. I have said this before on this platform. The moment I think of that day, my knees really shake. Am I ready? Will I be ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? That each one, underline the word each one. The Lord is not going to call, come all ELBC members, we'll stand together. No. Each one, I can even go further on that. The Lord is not going to call Molly and George together. No. I have to stand myself. And I cannot blame my wife. Neither can she on me. When it comes to the responsibility of living and living for him. Each one will receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. There is a lot to explain. This is the scripture. I am just simply reading some of them. It will speak by itself. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, We persuade men. This is what I wanted to highlight. Why did Paul preach gospel all over the place? Even in danger, at very difficult places, when people hated him, they rejected him, they tried to kill him so many times. Why? Paul says here, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We must persuade men wherever possible. But we are made manifest unto God, says Paul. What is your... We fail giving the gospel because we have not the fear that Paul is talking about here. And therefore, we almost pass by without giving the gospel. So first of all, or maybe the second one, it furnishes us, it should stimulate us for giving the gospel by looking for the glory that is yet to come. It should also motivate sinners to obey. Eternity is rest assured to every human being. Everyone is going to eternity. Believer or non-believer, they are all going to eternity. You believe it? But the difference is, where are they going to go? Some will be into the eternity with the Lord. The other will be eternity in the burning hell. They also have eternity. And the choice is theirs. Acts 17 says, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commands men that they should all everywhere repent. Repentance is not for sinners alone. Repentance is for everyone. And that is why Paul put that in a blanket statement, saying now he commands men that should all everywhere should repent. Are you a person who repents in your life? Sins, failures, weaknesses. It can happen. We are still in this body of sin. It can happen. It shouldn't, but it can. But it does happen. Are you a person who repents? Paul says, men in all places, everywhere, that includes you and me and the unsaved one outside, they should repent. While we are still looking, while we are still looking for the glory yet to come. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. I mean, these are verses that need a lot more time. I am just quickly passing through to get to on my point. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. For question number one, are you going after him? If yes, you must deny yourself. What that means is that you are not the primary thing in your life. It is him and him alone. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? A lot of times we use this passage, which is okay, I have used it myself, for preaching the gospel. But it is talking about you and me also. What shall it profit to a man, you or me, a woman, if you gain the whole world? You can't go any further than that, right, in this world. You can gain the whole world, Paul says. But if you lose your life, what shall it profit you? Beloved, one day we will enter into that glorious presence of our Savior. We will look back like Israel did. They had a good look turnaround, as I said earlier. They looked back to Egypt and saw their life behind them. One day we will stand there and in the glorious presence and take a look back to our life. How will you feel at that moment? What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render unto every man according to his deeds. Now the next thing in the 4-5 minutes before me, I follow that clock there. You don't look at the clock. That's my job. It helps one to answer those who are asking questions. Have you had any people come to you asking questions about spiritual values or spiritual things? It may not be even related to the Bible or Christianity. Something that is in their spiritual life. Has anybody has ever come to you and asked you a question? I'm sure you had at some point in your life. But what did you do with it? How did you answer? But the thought about the coming eternity, that we should be prepared, we should be ready to answer, as Peter says, when you are very sincerely interested and should be able to give them, we should be able to give them the right answer. If anybody in this universe has answers for the problem of man today, it's you. Not me, it's you. We have it. But the thing is, are we ready to answer? Peter says, but sanctify your hearts, Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Paul says in Titus, holding on to the faithful word which is according to the teaching, that he may be able to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. For there are many unruly men who have come. We live in this world where it has multiplied over the years. Vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Who will stop it? You. You, my brother, you, my sister. If anybody can be stop their unruly behavior, or even asking, when they ask a question, to give them a reasonable answer, it is you, not but nobody else, whose mouths must be stopped. Men who overthrow whole houses, teaching things which are they ought not. For what? Listen to this. What is going on around the globe? So-called churches, for filthy lucre's sake. You know what that means? For money. How much is going on all that stuff? But what will you say? What will I say? And one last thing quickly before I close. I have more thing, but I'm going to stop here with this one point. The vision and the hope of the eternal glory that is yet to come, that is given to us. We only looked at one verse here, one passage here. It should really stimulate our prayer life. Let me ask you a question. How is your prayer life? I have to confess, well, like I said earlier, when I was a teenager, a young man growing up and studying in college and universities and other things, working, I had more prayer time those days than today. I tell you, I'm confessing before you. Do I pray? Yes, I do. But the intense prayer life that was there before, somewhere along the way, the ball dropped. How about you? Don't follow me on this. How about you? It should stimulate us. When I am thinking about the eternity to come, it is important that we pray more and not less. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, and he spoke a parable unto them to the end that they ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city. You know the story. Listen carefully. And she came very often unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for her a while, but afterward he said within himself. He's taking a glorious statement. Though I fear not God, nor I regard not man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. This is the words of the Lord himself. Don't give up prayer. Whoever you are praying for, 5 years, 20 years, for salvation of souls, someone to come back to the Lord who walked away from the Lord, or whatever may be the reason, our glorious vision of eternity should stimulate us more in prayer. My time is up. It can also strengthen our love for one another. That's another important subject. Where is your love for God's people? You have time for everything in your under heaven for yourself. But where is your love for God's people? There's more things than I had in my notes, but I'm not going to go there. But one thing I want to assure you, the glory that God has promised to us is yours now, today. The moment you trusted Christ, salvation that is given to you was part of that glory that is yet to come. What a joy it is for us to know that this world that we live in is only a temporary passing through experience. And we will be in His presence very soon. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You this morning. What a joy to consider Your word again, that we are only here for a very short time. Our days are really, truly numbered in many ways. Help each one of us to live in the light of the eternal glory that is yet to come for us. Meanwhile, help us to be faithful to You in all these aspects that we looked at. Continue to encourage every one of us to live for Your glory. Commit us to the throne of grace. We give You thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.